The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to the William Hill Punt Podcast with Dave Kellner here in the studio alongside Lee Phelps to take a look at the midweek European matches in the Champions League and the Europa League. These games involving, of course, the English clubs and Celtic playing on Thursday night as well. But first of all, let's start with the formalities. It's a good morning to Mr. Lee Phelps.
Oh,
it's afternoon now, isn't it?
I thought you were
going
to call me Lee Hattrick Phelps. No, you're not going for that. That was just for the office, was it?
We do the naps on the Weekend Punt Podcast. How many times do we have to start with
three.
This?
Three.
How many times do we have to start and go? We go through this rigmarole every single Monday afternoon or morning or whatever, and I always say leave the naps to the weekend.
I'll make a deal with you.
And you always disobey those orders.
I apologise.
Direct instruction.
I'll make a deal with you. When I lose a nap, I won't mention it. How's that?
Yeah, that sounds good.
So probably next week.
I've been doing that every week since the Punt Podcast started now.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to this this midweek fixture list we have, Mr. Phelps.
Some very good stuff, isn't it?
We have got some cracking matches. Should we get straight stuck into it?
Why not?
We'll start with, are we going with CSKA Moscow or CSKA?
It depends if you want to be a hipster or not. I wouldn't put you down as a hipster.
I've never been a hipster, so we'll go with
CSKA then.
CSKA
I
Moscow.
Tried to get, people out there may know, Robbie Savage does our football previews. And
does he really?
Yes, and I tried to get him to say, because he couldn't quite get his lips around CSKA. And I said, if you want to be a hipster, Robbie, just call him CSKA Moscow. And he tried it, he couldn't front it up. He laughed every time he said it.
We need some sort of vinyl, some sort of bloopers for that. So
Moscow, call him Moscow.
Moscow. CSKA Moscow 5-1 the draw, 14-5 Man City 4-7. 5 p.m. kickoff this one, folks, Tuesday evening. Headline offers here: Akhmed Musa to score and CSKA Moscow to win. 12-1. I'm waiting to cock that up now. It's going to happen at some point. 12-1. Sergio Aguero to score and Manchester City to win in the betting at 2-1. Must win game for both teams. Man City beaten 1-0 by Bayern, then held at the Etihad by Roma. CSKA Moscow hammered in Italy by Roma on match day one and then dominated by Bayern at home, but only beaten 1-0 in that match. You look at the stats for that match, though, Lee. Bayern were absolutely dominant in that game. Only scored once through a Thomas Muller penalty. As far as domestic form is concerned, CSKA Moscow just a couple of points behind Zenit in the Russian Premier League. Manchester City won against Spurs at the weekend in that penalty-laden match. I think the conditions of this match are going to have an effect, though. It's been snowy in Moscow.
Yeah.
Conditions going to be cold. And because of off-the-field problems with their supporters, CSKA Moscow's next three matches going to be played behind closed doors, which adds an interesting dynamic to the game as well.
Yeah, well, this is the middle of the three. Because the Bayern game was behind closed doors as well, of course. But how do you think that? I've been kind of thinking through. So how does that affect the game? I don't know. What do you think? I mean, it shouldn't make any difference, should it? And I think Bayern had a terrible week actually when they went to play in Moscow. So that 1-0, they had all sorts of problems. I think they'd been away from home for ages because they'd played away and then they'd travelled to Moscow. They'd been woken up on the Sunday night in the Moscow hotel by a fire alarm and loads of different things happened. And they were a little bit off the pace. Bayern Munich, hence probably why they only won 1-0. Do you think it would make a difference playing in front of an empty stadium?
I'm not sure that makes as much a difference as the actual conditions.
Yeah.
If it is very, very cold.
Well, the Daily Mail are saying -5, so you could probably go -1 because they love a scare story, don't they?
What are the Express saying? They're the best.
-40.
There's always something on the front of the Express.
-40 with the zombie invasion.
Yeah.
Apparently.
I just think that if it is very cold, some of the Moscow players might be more used to those conditions than the City players, arguably, but it might not make any effect at all.
No,
you don't know.
It's difficult. I kind of came down the idea that it wouldn't make much of a difference to the City players. I mean, they went to Moscow last year, a similar time of the year, played in a 9 p.m. kickoff as this is in Moscow, and won. So they know how to cope with the conditions. It could make a difference, couldn't it? But it shouldn't, I guess. Aguero's. Did you see Aguero at the weekend?
I only read the reports after the game. He's
decent.
he's not bad, is he?
Pellegrini's saying he wanted him
missed a penalty, though.
Yes, true, yeah. He just give him a chance. Pellegrini's saying that he wants him to be competing for the Ballon d'Or. A lot of people saying that performance puts him among that. I'm not sure it does. Until you do that week in, week out in Europe.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, I looked back at his stats last year in the group stages, and he had 22 shots in the group stages last year and scored 6 goals. So it's not a bad ratio, to be fair. My eyes were immediately drawn to him for this match just because he's probably my favourite player in the Premier League. I prefer him to Costa as a striker, even though he's obviously been tearing it up. Man City at 4-7 is very short, so I was drawn to Aguero at even money just because of the. It's about as short as I'd want to go, really, I think. But I think if he's presented with 3 or 4 chances in this match, he will take one of them. You know, CSKA Moscow, they tend to give their opponents quite a lot of opportunities on goal as well. Last season, in the group stages again, they allowed their opponents 14 shots on goal on average. City actually averaged 16 shots per goal away from home in the group stages last year. And it's difficult to judge it this year because they've only played Bayern away from home, and they were so defensive trying to nick a draw. So I think there should be goals because, as you say, both teams must win. It's not must win. If they lose this, they're not out of the Champions League, and they're not, because Roma may well lose both games against Bayern, so there's still opportunities. I think it's a must win for confidence for both sides, though. So despite the fact this is behind closed doors and it makes me think it'll be low scoring, I think Moscow will go for it, and I think City won't sit back. They'll try and win this game, I think. So I'm looking at goals, and I'm looking at Aguero getting one. They've got a terrible record, Moscow. Have you seen the record? I've got this thing in my mind that they're a good home team in the Champions League, but they've won 3 in 16 home and away over the last 3 Champions Leagues, and only 2 wins in 8 at home over the same course, 3 Champions League competitions. The 2 wins came against Trabzonspor and Victoria Plzeň 3-2. This isn't the kind of the Moscow that we kind of used to think was a great team. At home, they've got Zagaev's out, of course, still.
Yeah.
Dumbia's been playing really well. He's got a bit of an injury niggle.
He's expected to start, though, isn't he?
I'd be amazed if he didn't start. Musa's the other one who's been scoring recently. He's been chirping on in the press about City being having a weak defence. So you can imagine Kompany wanting to teach him a thing or two. Mangala's the only real big injury doubt. They've got a couple. They've got Nasri's niggly, but Mangala would be a big miss for them, I think. Or Mangala, if he was out. He's got a muscle strain. And I think they'd prefer to use him rather than Demichelis at the minute.
Definitely.
So, yeah. I don't like the price about City, but they have to win this, don't they, really? They can't come away from there without winning it. So I'm going to go for Aguero to score in a City win at, I think it's 2-1 as the headline offer. I like both bets, so I'll just put them together.
Yeah, that is one of the headline offers. Aguero to score and Man City to win 2-1. If you're looking at the other one and you fancy an upset here, Ahmed Musa has got 5 in 10 league appearances. And his strike rate's decent as well. For every goal, 3 shots per goal, basically. So,
yeah.
which is decent in this league. He has been trash talking in the lead up to the match as well.
I love that.
Ahmed Musa to score and CSKA Moscow to win is 12-1, but Lee preferring the Aguero to score and Man City to win 2-1.
I've gone on. If you're a regular listener, I've gone on about this all season long, but I'll say it again. Bookings, Man
yes.
City away from home. Bookings, cheeky. This is the record so far away from home this season. This is just in bookings. They went to when they played Villa away, it was 1-0 to City in terms of bookings. 2-0 at Hull, 4-0 at Bayern Munich, 4-3 at Arsenal, 5-1 at Newcastle, and 1-0 in the Community Shield, if you want to take it that far. So in each of their away games, obviously the Community Shield is not really an away game, they've had more bookings than their opponents. CSKA, last 3 Champions League home games, Bayern Munich had more than them in both their previous games. It was 3-3 in the game against City last season. And CSKA, a bottom or top, I suppose. I say bottom because I like a foul. Bottom of the disciplinary table. Just 1 card so far. City have had 5. So
right.
We haven't got any prices, unfortunately, on the cards as we record this. I don't know if it's going to be that big a price, to be fair. But being that City are the favourites...
It's usually decent.
I think it'd be a better price than City to win.
You'd think it'd be up there by now, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Recording this Monday afternoon.
No, I've checked.
Tuesday evening.
I've even checked there are other bookmakers. Are you aware of this?
No, there are.
There are other bookmakers. And no one else has got card markets up, so they must all be waiting for each other.
Possibly.
But if it's better than the Man City price to win, which I think it will be, I think if it's any bigger than 8-13, I'd be all over it.
Yeah, I think it will be as well.
And the reason for it is that City love stopping play.
Are you suggesting that there's a sometimes collusion then?
Between who?
Between the bookmakers in terms of...
No!
No.
I don't know where you got that from. And what I'm saying is that maybe they just... it's just a guide. Maybe they've got like a little embargo that they don't go out with cards until they all go out with cards. Or I don't know. The reason being is that City like to do this this kind of tactic where they break play down. And it seems to be that these niggly fouls will pick a couple up. Never really turn into reds, to be fair to them. So they'll pick up a booking or two after early in the second half. And as the stats show, every single away game so far, they've had more bookings than their opponents. Mm.
They are the John McEnroe of Premier League football.
Mm. They just need headbands.
Let's move on.
Okay.
Let's have a look at Chelsea versus NK Maribor, which is the other Tuesday night game involving one of the English teams. Chelsea 1-6, the draw 6-1. NK Maribor 14-1. Headline offer, the one that will interest you here, Cesc Fabregas to score and Chelsea to win, is in the market at 2-1. Chelsea top of the group. This is a match in Group G. They've got 4 points. They drew at home with Schalke on match day one, then went to Sporting Lisbon and won 1-0. The Slovenians, 2-1 all draws in this group, which is pretty decent. They drew with Sporting at home and Schalke away. Many people thought that Maribor would be the whipping boys of this group. That's not materialised as yet. Chelsea without Diego Costa at the weekend, and he won't feature here, Lee. He's still suffering from a hamstring injury that was exacerbated while on international duty. Loic Remy in line for a start, or perhaps Mourinho will use Didier Drogba instead. Maribor have done well, and Chelsea a little bit stretched now in terms of personnel. I wonder if this is going to start catching up with them. You expect a similar team to the one that beat Crystal Palace 2-1 on Saturday, Healy.
Yeah, I think Schürrle's back, which is a big... I think he was only ill.
Don't think he is.
Oh, right. OK, I read that he is.
From the reports that I've read, okay. I don't think he will be
involved.
Well,
let's see. Should we have a side bet on whether he is available or not?
Yeah, let's say I'm willing to have that side. I can't remember whether my source that was reliable.
I just all I saw was that he was ill for the Palace game, so he was expected back. But look, I won't argue with you over it. I don't think it'll make too much difference. Could be sluggish here, Chelsea. I'm always sluggish if I haven't had a Costa.
Oh dear.
Sorry, I was trying to crow my Starbucks in there, but I just couldn't make it work. Couldn't make it work at all, the Starbucks reference. Look, Maribor did do well at Schalke, but Schalke had 23 attempts on goal in that match, only 4 on target. If they allow Chelsea that many attempts on goal, it will be 2-3 here. I'd be very surprised if Maribor managed to score against Chelsea. Mourinho was... did you see the piece of paper that he wrote on? He had a little pad in the press conference after the Crystal Palace game,
really?
And wrote "big balls" on it and signed it and showed it to all the media. So the media loved that, because that's the kind of performance he said it was. Big balls. He was disappointed that they conceded late on. You know, understandably so. He wouldn't. I don't think they'll concede here. I think it could be a pretty routine game. Just because of, I don't think Maribor have been living on their living on the luck a little bit so far. I think this will be a bit of a shopping trip to London, I think, in a sense. If they come away with a point here, they'd be absolutely delighted.
They've not been doing that well in Slovenia.
No, is it 1-5? 1-5, yeah. I think it is, in all competitions.
They lost on Saturday at home to Chelsea as well, so not got much confidence.
Might be catching up with them as well. You know, you mentioned about up. You know, the fact that, you know, that it's a new thing for Maribor, and they've done so well so far. They don't score many goals anyway, so I think if you were looking at, I mean, it's a very short price, of course. Chelsea are 1-6 to win this, so even the minus a goal is 4-11.
What price would you want on the to win to nil market here?
Well, it's not going to be much, is it? I'm guessing that if it was 8-13, I'd be absolutely overjoyed.
8-13.
Oh, okay. I could take that. I mean, I'm not a massive player at that, because you know, a fluke goal or an own goal could cost you. But I just think this will be Chelsea kind of at their routine best, if you like. I was looking at the headline offer, Fabregas to score. He's only scored one. He scored one goal in each of the last 4 Champions League seasons. It wasn't. It hasn't. Not since he scored 3 in the group stages for Arsenal in his last season there. Not since then has he scored more than one. He's already got one. So you know, I did look at that and thought that might be worth a little look. Again, I've got another little bookings bet here. Maribor. I'd like to back them to have more than three cards in the game, because I think the only way they're going to try and stop Chelsea is to try to kick them a little bit and try to slow them down, and it's not going to be easy for them. You look so far, six yellow cards so far they've had. Chelsea have had six as well, by the way. So, you know, again, when the card markets come out, just look at the Maribor cards. Not in the match, just in Maribor itself. And I think they may have to kick Chelsea to slow them down. But I'll side with them. The headline offer is decent, you know. Obviously, it always is. But yeah, Chelsea to win to nil and Fabregas to score. I guess if you're having that bet, you may as well put him in to score with Chelsea winning. But I'm not... The minus two on Chelsea... Will they be that bothered? They've got Man United away at the weekend. I know it's not Man United of old, but they'll still want to be, you know, rested for that.
You could play 3-0, couldn't you, if you're having a throw away correct score bet, perhaps?
11-2, yeah. 11-2. Yeah, I think so.
Chelsea to win to nil might attract a few people, though, 8-13, given they are 1-6 to win the game.
You didn't think I'd be anywhere near that price, did you?
I thought you'd be miles out. That's why I asked. Did you see that one before we recorded, and you've done a good acting job there?
No,
not at all. Liverpool, Real Madrid.
Oh, dear.
Wednesday night, this is going to be an absolute belter. Group B match, 7:45 PM kickoff. Liverpool 7-2, the draw 5-2. Real Madrid in the betting at 4-5. Headline offers: Raheem Sterling to score and Liverpool to win is 9-1. Cristiano Ronaldo to score and Real Madrid to win in the betting at 2-1. Watch the game on Sunday afternoon against QPR. It was an amazing match to watch. Little time to turn around, actually, for Liverpool to prepare for this match, really. The absence of Daniel Sturridge clearly continues to have its impact, and they look decidedly dodgy at the back, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Dejan Lovren was bullied by Bobby Samora. Martin Skrtel didn't play particularly well either, in my opinion. QPR created lots of chances in that first half, couldn't quite capitalise early on, and in the end it came back to bite them, and they lost it 3-2. Raheem Sterling, again, I thought he was absolutely tremendous. Every time he got the ball, he looked to be direct. I thought he had a good performance. They were saying after the match in the post-match analysis that Jamie Carragher was saying it was difficult to pinpoint any Liverpool player who'd played well. I disagreed with him entirely. I thought Raheem Sterling was fantastic in the match. I really did think he played well. And Coutinho obviously did well when he came on. That pass to set up the final own goal to Raheem Sterling was a cracker. But they're playing a Real Madrid side who are just in blistering form. Won 5-0 in the last two games. Cristiano Ronaldo got 5 goals in those games as well. It's frustrating that we're not going to see Gareth Bale here. He's been confirmed as out for the match on Wednesday night, and doubtful for that El Clasico meeting on Saturday as well, which is a real shame, because I want to see him and Cristiano Ronaldo. But this is going to be a belter, and I think a lot of people will be getting stuck into Madrid at 4-5.
I saw a lot of people tweeting in Play Radio at Will Hill in Play, to give it a plug, saying while they were watching the QPR game, saying, how can they be 4-5? You know, this is Liverpool. Liverpool just, you know, they're ordinary. Sterling was great. I don't know if you saw the rumours that Brendan Rodgers had promised him a nap at half time if he played well in the first half, which is fair enough.
You're worse than that account. That account that had literally a shelf life of 20 minutes. Still going, isn't it?
Probably, yeah.
Every time something's tweeted from that account now, it still gets 1,000 retweets.
If you look at the trajectory of followers, though, it'll have gone 0 to 10,000 in the first day, and then it'll be like 100 the rest of its life. It's not even funny, is it? No, it's not. Apart from when I did it. Just one quick thing about QPR before we go off. Just one for the notebooks. I know everyone out there has notebooks that they write bets down in, don't they?
The punt notebook. It's the smallest scrap of paper you've ever seen, the punt notebook.
It'll be in shops for Christmas. QPR to win and over 2.5 goals in the game against Villa next Premier League weekend, 3-1. I think that's a good bet. QPR did look a lot fitter. We said they would. They've been training hard in the international break. I think they'll look a lot better. I think they'll beat Villa.
How's Adil Terap looking?
Yeah,
he's looking a lot fitter.
Not so good. How angry was Harry Redknapp about that?
Very angry, wasn't he? But
back to Liverpool.
To be angry, though, as well.
Is there anything I've been trying my hardest to think a way out of the box here and think, oh, I'm not going to just going to go what everyone else says, which is Ronaldo to score and Real Madrid to win. Is there anything that you've seen in Liverpool's recent performances that would suggest to you that they can live with a Real Madrid team who've scored 32 goals and conceded 5 in the last 8? Ronaldo scored 15 in that. I think that's a new record in goals in so many games. I can't. How can they compare? What they should do is they should put 4 at the back, 2 in front of them, 3 in front of that. But I mean, defensive 3 in front of that as well, and just stick Barini up front and let him chase stuff, because there's no way they can. There's no way they can play Real Madrid.
I thought you were going to say. I thought you were going to go through it there and say play with 12 men.
Yeah, that's probably the best way of doing it.
Will Mario Balotelli play in this match?
Well, he shouldn't, because he can't hold the ball up, can he? And watching it, you know, they're going to be under pressure. Real Madrid aren't going to sit back. They're going to go for it the way they're playing at the moment. I can't see that there's any reason for them to sit back with this Liverpool defence. And what you want is someone up there who can hold the ball up. They're probably better off putting Lambert up there to hold the ball up. I just don't know how they can. You know, I just don't get it. If they go for a defensive setup, which they're not very good at anyway, Liverpool, then it could be low scoring. That's the only thing I could say. So I was thinking, well, maybe you could go for under 2.5, but even that's not bad. I think it's 5-4 under 2.5 goals. I couldn't have that. You know, I was hoping it would be a decent price because it's unlikely to happen. I'd love to know what tactics are going to employ. If Liverpool go out with an attacking lineup, this could be anything. This could be like 4-2 or something daft. But or 6-2 to Real Madrid. But I suspect that they'll go a lot more solid. I mean, Steven Gerrard said himself, didn't he? If we play like that against Real Madrid, we won't win.
Yeah.
You don't often, I mean, I know everyone knows that, but you don't often hear the captain of a club saying that, do you?
But because they've played like that against QPR at the weekend, they will... I think they'll play better in the... I think they're bound to play better in this match. Bit of recency bias against Mario Balotelli as well. I know he was... pretty poor and missed one absolutely glaring opportunity.
But it's not the missing
QPR.
The chance, mate. It's not the missing the chance for me. It's the lack of work rate and the fact that he'd have to lead the line alone. He couldn't do that. You know, if they had Suarez in their team, for instance, just going back to last year, you know that if you ping the ball up to him and you needed him to hold it and break and move, you know, hit the wings or hit the corner even just to relieve some pressure, you know he'd do that. But I tell you, just bounces off him.
No, but I think it's a real test of Brendan Rodgers. His personal man management here, because if Balotelli came off, obviously he was roundly criticised for that performance on Sunday. I wonder if he stepped off the pitch and Brendan Rodgers put his arm around him and said, I know what you can do, I'm going to stick with you, you are my man for Wednesday night, then Balotelli might start to work for him.
Does he though?
It's not
I'm not a critic of him. I think he's brilliant. I like him. You know, I think he's a great player, but you can only give him so many chances. The work rate's just... Brendan Rodgers himself said he has to work harder. At least you'd get some work rate out of Barini and Lambert.
But what about all the talk of Liverpool all of a sudden being in a transitional period as well? which Rodgers obviously highlighting the fact that Suarez left in the summer, and that's halted the, in inverted commas, 3-year plan that he'd set in motion when he came to the club. But it seems an opportune moment to start talking about
the project
and the team being in transition again. Obviously, Suarez leaving in the summer was a big blow to Liverpool's progression. I wonder if we're going to get some sort of response from Liverpool in this game, but I don't know how they can combat Real Madrid either.
I don't know how they can outscore them, because they have to concede, don't they? I mean, you can't see Liverpool not conceding in the game.
What's the bet in the match? What about Real Madrid to win and both teams to score at 11-5? They conceded in both their opening Champions League matches.
I mean, that, obviously the run at home has been brilliant, but they still do concede goals. I mean, 8-11 for the best player in the world to score a goal?
Yeah.
With 15 in the last 7?
I think he scores, Ronaldo. Well,
you can't have him at 8-11, can you, really?
I think that's a good bet.
Wherever he plays. I mean, his record, you remember the kind of infamous record against Liverpool? He hadn't scored in the first 7 times. I don't think he scored a goal in the 7 times he played against them. And then I think he got a couple in the final season when they won 3-0 and lost to Liverpool as well. So, you know, that whole... Remember that thing where he didn't score against the big teams? Yeah, I think that's been put to bed now, hasn't it?
I think so, definitely.
8-11.
But then you're looking at the headline offer again.
Yeah, I know. And it's like, we may as well just go, right, this is the headline offer podcast. And, you know, just back them all. They are tempting, though, to be fair. Look, everything. I'm trying to go against the grain and think, well, can Liverpool put up some sort of magical Anfield performance? We didn't see anything like that against Ludogorets. And I know it's not Real Madrid. They were very poor away from home at Basel as well, weren't they? They haven't been good in the Premier League. They played well against Tottenham and they played well for a half against Everton. I haven't really seen anything else to suggest that they can live with Real Madrid. I think it's going. I don't think Liverpool will be able to contain them. I don't think he'll necessarily set them up to contain them either. The only thing he could do, like I was going to say, was set up that in that defensive formation and try and hit them on the break. But they can't trust their attackers to score the goals like they could trust Suarez. If they had Suarez in the team or someone of his calibre, they could set up and just give away possession. It could be like 30%, 60%, 70% possession for all they cared, as long as they had the chances, like, you know, City did at Bayern. Liverpool could do that at home against Real Madrid, but I think you'd be living very dangerously there. I'm going to...
What's the one bet in this match?
Ronaldo to score a goal.
8-11.
It has to be, doesn't it? Because whatever happens, that's the most likely thing to happen, given his current form. In terms of what I think will happen, I think Liverpool will get dragged into a... in boxing, you know, a fighter will start all tactical and then get dragged into a toe-to-toe battle. That'll happen. Whatever Liverpool start doing, they'll get dragged into it. I think it could be a goal fest. Over 3.5 goals at 13-8 is not bad.
Just saying, folks, just saying. I'm here to just present the podcast. Last time Real Madrid and Liverpool met in the Champions League was back in 2009. Two games there. Liverpool won both of them to nil. 4-0 at Anfield and 1-0 in the Bernabeu as well. Just saying.
I just need some form. You know what I mean? I just need to form behind them for me to do that. And it's easy to say, oh yeah, I think Liverpool go do well and they'll win the game. But I can't see it. I can't make an argument for it. 7-2 Liverpool, it's not big enough either.
Anderlecht versus Arsenal is the other match on Wednesday night. Group D encounter this one. Anderlecht 4-1. The draw is 12-5. And Arsenal 3-4. Mateus Suarez to score and Anderlecht to win. One of the headline offers 12-1. Alexis Sanchez to score and Arsenal to win is 5-2. Anderlecht top of the Belgian Pro League, but only picked up 1 point from their opening two games in Group D. They drew in Turkey against Galatasaray and then lost 3-0 at home to Dortmund. Arsenal were beaten badly in Germany, a match that we've referenced numerous times on the podcast, in match day one. Then a strong performance at home against Galatasaray. However, dropped more points in the Premier League at the weekend against Hull, despite dominating possession. And Arsene Wenger, a little bit frosty in his post-match interview. Same personnel at the back for Arsenal as last season, but conceding a lot more goals this time. And Arsene Wenger saying that the team lack balance, whatever that means. He's using a lot of buzzwords at the moment.
You can't call him Wenger, by the way, and get away with it.
Sorry, did I call him Wenger?
Yeah, not to his face anyway.
Wenger the Wenger.
Yes.
Arsenal 3-4 away in Anderlecht. What do you think to that bet?
Well, they are poor.
What do you think to that price?
To be fair, they're poor. You know, they're not a great team in Champions League terms. You look at their form. I mean, these two teams, you know, neither of them are in great nick, to be fair. In the Champions League, they haven't won a game in any Champions League match for absolutely ages now. The last time they won was against Zenit at home in November 2012, so that's a total of 10 games ago. A couple of draws here and there. They drew it in away at Galatasaray.
Yeah.
In fact, almost won that, but Yilmaz popped up with an equaliser late on. Were well beaten by Borussia Dortmund, as were Arsenal. I don't think they should be 3-4, Arsenal. I think Anderlecht at home are probably worth a look at on the handicaps, you know, plus a goal. But I've got a bet that I like away from the outrights, and that's Alexander Mitrovic to score a goal. 23-10 to score in this game at home, which is, I think, is a really nice price. He seems to really enjoy scoring at home. He scored against Cercle Bruges at home. In the last but one home game, they drew 0-0 with Genk in the last home game before that. He also scored the only goal in the Sporting Charleroi match. That was at home. He also scored in the 3-1 win against Mouscron Peralts. And he was scoring at home towards the end of last season as well. So it seems to be a real home bird, if you like. 23-10 looks a big price for, you know, a goal for him. For a team who, you know, they play very, very well at home domestically. It's just that they seem to get the jitters when it comes to Champions League football. I mean, they've got a terrible record and they tend to concede a lot of goals. But like Liverpool, there's nothing in Arsenal's form at the moment that makes me confident that they can go away and win at odds on. It's just, you know, that they laboured against Hull. You know, and I know if Anderlecht open up against them, that'll be easier for Arsenal. But I'm going to play on in terms of how it goes. I'm going to if you can get, you know, if you've got Anderlecht and the draw around the even money mark, then you know, that's good enough for me. It's 23-20, two results on your side, and Alexander Mitrovic to score a goal at 23-10 for me.
Soft underbelly, haven't they? We talked about it. The soft underbelly Arsenal. Only 11 points from 8 games in the Premier League so far.
And they haven't really
been disappointing.
You know how normally you think, oh, well, look, even if they're disappointing...
They keep dominating possession and not capitalising.
Yeah. They haven't got that... They just don't seem to have that... they seem to be even worse this season. I mean, they went to Besiktas and only drew 0-0. They haven't got a very good away record recently. No winning 4 away games. Admittedly, Bayern Munich and Borussia Dortmund are in that mix, and they drew at Bayern. But I'm not particularly keen on them at all. I was having a look at Anderlecht just to score. Anderlecht just to score a goal is 4-9. To score 2 is 12-5. I'm not sure I could stretch to 2, but Mitrovic to do what he does and score at home is my bet.
Let's move on. Let's have a look at the UEFA Europa League on Thursday night. 3 matches here with Everton, Tottenham and Celtic all in action. And Everton go to Lille. Lille 13-10. The draw 11-5. Everton in the market at 11-5. Everton back on track with a 3-0 win against Aston Villa at the weekend. Less said about that particular result, the better.
Well, what happened? What's the problem with that?
No, the less said about that result, the better. Ross Barkley made his return after missing the opening 7 matches with a knee ligament injury. Romelu Lukaku also back in the fold as well. Mm-hmm. He's talked about Barkley being the best player in the team, the perfect partner for him. So he obviously wants to develop that relationship. Everton are in control of this group as well. They won 4-1 against Wolfsburg and then drew in Krasnodar. Lille, only mid-table in Liga. They have drawn their opening 2 matches in the group, both of those 1-1. This was one that I thought there was a bet here. I think Everton are a good price at 11-5.
They do look good, don't they? I mean, I think there's a little bit of a template as to how you do this in the Europa League. And I think maybe Fulham kind of started it all off, or they were the main exponents of it when Roy Hodgson was in charge. And the idea is that in the group stages particularly, you go away, you get a draw, you're solid. If you get a win, fantastic, but you get a draw and you win your home games. Because we're not talking about great opposition here. If the Premier League is, and it is, among the top 3 divisions in Europe, then, you know, you should be able to beat the likes of Lille at home. And you can see Everton did that when they went to Krasnodar. They did take a fairly decent side, to be fair. I mean, you know, they didn't make too many changes to that, and it was a strongish side. I mean, Etu played and Atsu also played. Romelu Lukaku came on for Atsu in that game just after half time. There's been a lot of chat about Lukaku and how he's getting back towards fitness. Wouldn't be a massive surprise if he scored in this game.
Do you think he will play? What sort of side do you think Martinez will
think
send out then?
I think
Barkley will play after.
I think
coming
he might rest
back from
him.
That injury, yeah, you think he might be rested?
Yeah, I mean, there's no need to play him, is there? Especially if you're going to be solid, you don't really need a player of his type. I mean, last time they had 4 at the back, they played Barry and Gibson just in front of them. That's not Barry Gibbs from the Bee Gees, by the way. It's Barry and Gibson. Atsu, Osman and McGeady is the 3, and then Etu up top on his own. I wouldn't be surprised. No reason to not go with that again. And if you come away with a draw from France, no problem. You know,
about your man is Stephen Naismith.
He didn't play in that game last time. I mean, again, if he plays, you know, I'd look at him to score. I mean, he's still 21-10. He's still scoring goals, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
But if Lukaku plays, then 19-10 looks a nice price, doesn't it?
I think that's a very, very good price. I actually like the. I know that you've almost you're almost the man as far as headline offers are concerned. You are Mr. Headline Offer. But if I can just sneak in there for once and just promote this one. Lukaku to score and Everton to win if he starts at 5-1, I like. But get the feeling that you're sat, you think this might be a draw,
yeah,
Lee.
I'm going to play the draw.
Yeah.
I just don't think there's that much desire to go for anything other than a draw. You know, like you said, they are in command of the group. 4 points, the 2 points clear of Krasnodar. They win this, and then they can... they've got the return...
They draw this.
So they draw this, and they got Lille at home. Then they go to Wolfsburg after that, and then they've got Krasnodar at home. You know, if they want... They'll qualify through this group easy, and they'll probably win it as well. So I think, you know, I'm happy with the draw, to be honest with you. They're away at Burnley at the weekend, so there's no real need for them to be too worried. And it's only France, of course, so it's not the biggest journey. It's a 6 o'clock kickoff UK time. So you know, I think it's a decent week for them, this Everton. And I get why you're going for the 11-5 because it's a tasty price, isn't it? But I'll stick with the draw.
Tottenham take on Asteris Tripolis in Group C on Thursday night, 8:05 p.m. start time. This one, 3-10 Tottenham to win the game. The draw 4-1. Asteris Tripolis in the betting at 10-1. The odds suggest it's going to be plain sailing for Spurs here.
Yeah.
Only two draws though so far against Partizan Belgrade away from home and Besiktas at home. Asteris have got a point in Besiktas and they beat Partizan 2-0. Tottenham disappointed at the weekend against Manchester City. We've talked about that match already earlier on the podcast. The scoreline there suggests that Spurs were dominated, but that wasn't exactly the case, really, Lee. They did cause City problems defensively. I thought Christian Eriksen and Nasser Chadli were superb. Very, very strong performances from those two. And Eric Lamela's suggested that he's happier under Mauricio Pochettino than he's ever been at the club. So maybe not all doom and gloom as far as Spurs are concerned.
No, and like, you know, I was surprised at how they played, to be fair. I thought they'd do what they did when they went to the Emirates and, you know, just sit up strong, but they really had a go at them. Pellegrini was, like, really complimentary, wasn't he? As he probably would be when you just won so well. But he said, you know, that they came out and made a game of it. I don't think it's that much of a surprise. I don't think Tottenham are a top three side. I think they're way off. I think they're about fifth or sixth, actually. I think, you know, Man United probably finish above them. Wouldn't be surprised if Liverpool end up finishing above them. Arsenal finish above them. And I think it'll be a battle between them and Everton, who finishes higher. So it's not that much of a surprise. I don't mean that in any critical way of Tottenham. I just don't think they're there yet.
You've got to throw Southampton into the mix, surely.
Yeah, probably. You'll probably fall away eventually, won't they?
Do you think
so? I think Tottenham will probably finish above Southampton. But they'll be right up there, Southampton. They'll be up in the top eight, won't they? So,
That'd be a nice little bet, wouldn't it, that? Who finishes higher?
Match bet, Tottenham, Southampton.
Or Southampton.
Hmm. Would you go you'd be tempted with Southampton if the price was right, would you?
I would. I wouldn't say it's a coin flip right now. But yeah, I would. I'd be tempted by Southampton in that match bet, I think.
Hmm. Okay. Interesting. I just think they'll fall away eventually. Do you know what I mean? I think, you know, they're not quite good enough. They haven't got quite good enough quality to last out the whole season, Southampton. But
okay.
We digress. Tottenham, again, just going back to that theory of away performances versus home performances in this competition. They went to Partizan. It was a 0-0 draw. I think they'll do well here. I think they only drew 1-1 with Besiktas at home. Beat AEL 3-0. And you look back over the last couple of seasons and they've done really well against teams of this calibre. Now, Tripolis are eighth in the Super League in Greece, but they've been on a great run just of late. I mean, they started the season a bit iffy, and then since the 21st of September, when they beat Kalonii 1-0, they've done really, really well. There's a couple of club friendlies chucked in, but haven't lost a game since then, and they've been scoring goals. But I can't help but think this is a bit of a shopping trip for them to London. they're very far away from home in Europe. They don't win. They haven't won a game in the Europa League.
Next time, can it not be It's sightseeing.
It's just a trip to Madame Tussauds for Asteris Tripolis. So I go with Tottenham to win this one and win it relatively comfortably. I was hoping to back Harry Kane to score in this one. 4-5 is a bit short though, isn't it? It's a little bit skinny for me. That is a lot of the Tottenham fans are raving about Harry Kane and wanting him to play in the Premier League because of the lack of the lack of quality up front and finishing quality. I mean, I don't know why he doesn't, to be fair. I mean, he scores goals for the England under-21s regularly. He scored against Beşiktaş. He scored in the first of the two playoff matches against Croatia for England. Scored in the League Cup. Every time, they give him a chance, he seems to grab it. Scored in the AEL match. Also scored in both the AEL matches, to be fair. So, he's a good bet, and he seems to love playing in these matches, but 4-5.
Do you think they'll win the game, Spurs?
Yeah.
What about the headline
it's
offer?
It's too short, though, isn't it? It's just like 6-4. I mean, God. The headline offer is supposed to be like an attractive price, isn't it? Just on the headline offers, they are bets that the traders come up with the idea first, then enhance the price. So it is value, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
Don't you like the headline offers?
No, I do like the headline offers. I just like how much you like the headline offers. Yeah, that's what I like most about the headline offers.
I just think that,
likes for the headline offers is what I like most about the headline offers.
Fine. Tottenham minus a goal is my bet here. 3-4. They'll win this easy.
Celtic last up versus Astra Georgiou. They are 3-4 Celtic.
Is that how you're pronouncing that then?
I was just going to say Astra before. Just call him Astra from now on.
I haven't got anything better. But
No, I've got absolutely no idea. We'll just go with Astra. I didn't even want to do this game, if I'm being entirely honest. 3-4 Celtic. The draw 12-5. Astra 4-1. Chris Commons to score. Celtic to win 5-2. Constantine Badescu to score and Astra to win is 8-1. Celtic only fifth in the Scottish Premiership. Mm. Astra only fourth in Romania. Looks like a good opportunity for Celtic. Astra have conceded 7 and scored only 2 in their opening 2 matches in the group. Those performances came against Salzburg and Dinamo Zagreb. And this is a team that aren't performing domestically either, Astra.
No.
Lots of good opportunity. Celtic 3-4 though in a match in Europe. This is why I didn't want to talk about this.
Yeah. Headline. No, I'm not going to do a headline. I'm joking.
You're going to. My prediction is you're going to have nothing of interest to say about this match.
Really?
That's not a damning indictment of your performance on the podcast. It's just. It's not an interesting match, is it?
No.
Because you don't want to bat Celtic at 3-4.
The only interesting thing.
Astra.
Do you know, the only interesting thing is that Astra, so far this season, away from home in this competition, have won at some pretty decent places. We've seen Trentson play Hull, and they were all right. They won 3-1 there. They beat Slovan Liberec 3-2 away. They went to Lyon and won 2-1. And then they got spanked 5-1 by Dinamo Zagreb, who Celtic beat at home. So there's a little bit of collateral form there for you. Do you know, I've only got one bet in this,
okay.
And I'm not really interested in what happens. I couldn't back Celtic at the 3-4 at home, but I do like 10-11 both teams to score.
Okay.
Astra score goals away from home.
Yep.
The only team they haven't scored away from home at in the Europa League, and this is the first season in it, was at Maccabi Haifa when they lost 2-0, but they've scored plenty everywhere else they've been. They're an attacking side. They do go for it. They're not going to sit back. So that's the only one I'd go for there. They had, in that game against Maccabi Haifa, they had 10 shots on goal. Were just a bit toothless on that occasion. So both teams to score 10-11 is a nice price for me.
Just before we finish,
okay.
If you don't listen to the Weekend Punt podcast, you should. Because on good form, you're riding Diafra-Sacco, aren't you?
Yeah.
To success this season so far.
Well, to be fair, I was a bit disappointed. Maybe this is the greed in me coming out, but my favourite bet all week, as you well know, was West Ham to win.
Yes.
And then I kind of changed my mind and went for Sacco. Well, I don't know what the spread is. I haven't even looked at the price for both of them. West Ham to win and Sacco to score. Because Valencia was a headline offer, wasn't he?
He was.
What price was that? Was that about fours? In the back of my mind, I think that was 4-1, that Valencia.
It could have been. So you probably a similar sort of price for that.
Mm.
It was one of those weekends where...
I thought it was quite an easy weekend.
Yeah. There were quite a few wins and both teams to score, weren't there?
Yes,
which
helps.
You fancied.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this on Monday, by the way, can I just give a quick shout to the evening match tonight.
Quick mention
of the evening match. Tonight. Very quick mention. If you listen to this after Monday, you can disregard this entirely.
Just this bit or the podcast?
The whole podcast, obviously. If you go to specials on the website, there's an existing customer offer. Di Maria to score anytime against West Brom, 4-1. Tenner max, but...
Is this kind of in reaction to all these new customer only offers, these ludicrous offers where you get, you know, it'll be like, I don't know.
This is
0.5 goals in Liverpool Real Madrid at 40-1 for new customers only.
Anyone that's loyally listened to this podcast deserves some sort of offer,
don't they?
They deserve some sort of offer.
Well, I mean, I'm giving them winners week in, week out.
You know what I mean?
It's free to download.
Yeah, and you know, my shock might not have been conveyed properly on the podcast in the past, but between you and me, listeners, I can't believe what's happening so far this season. So long may it continue. Thank you for listening to the podcast this midweek. It should be a tremendous midweek's footballing action. Make sure you tune in to InPlay Radio as well on Tuesday and Wednesday night.
Who's on Tuesday?
Tuesday night, mainly because I'm on. So definitely make sure you're listening to that. Wednesday night, I'm not... I don't care about Wednesday night. I'll be sitting back watching Liverpool Real Madrid on Wednesday night. Thank you again for listening to the podcast. Thank you, Mr. Phelps.
Thank you.
As always, an absolute honour and pleasure. We'll speak again soon, folks. We'll be back for the Weekend Punt podcast looking at the Premier League matches.
The honour bit got stuck in the craw, didn't it?
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.